Okay, let's go to our next guest. Adelaide had a terrific win over Gold Coast. They've kept their season alive, Bone. We've said that, okay, but they need to build on it.
This week
with the form. Joining us now is Crows forward line coach, their great Mark Bickley. Skip, thanks for your time.
Hi, Stephen. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Baz, good, thank you.
Hey, you've probably over the Bootsma sacking at Carlton for a discretion on social media. Is it a big problem? Do you address the boys? Can you give us a bit of an in as to how you talk social media and the use of it with Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter with your players, Skip?
Yeah, look, the AFL do it initially with every draftee. I know for the last at least 2 or 3 years, they go through an induction process. So all the draftees from each club all go to Melbourne and they sit through a couple of days of, they do the gambling, they do the drugs, and they do social media. So they're all given what, or know what the expectations are as far as an AFL perspective are. And then each club, I guess, has their own level, which they, I guess, just make the players aware of. So the education is the main thing about, you know, don't put anything on there that you're not comfortable with being on the front page of the paper. Really, every post is really a statement in a press conference, really, and it can be used appropriately. So the players are fairly well across that, I would suspect.
Do they get it? You know, sometimes with footballers, Mark, and we've all been in that situation, that it takes a long time before it actually sinks in. Think the players are understanding that it's it can be a trap if misused?
Oh, yeah. Look, I think the players are very savvy with the modern technology, probably more so than you and I. So they're aware of it. Perhaps a couple of years ago, when it was all very new, I think there was, you know, a couple of people, Stephanie Rice and a few others, that were perhaps caught out and were a little bit naive. But I think having lived through all those things, that they're much more conscious of what they post in on all those sort of forms of media.
Let's talk footy.
Oh, hang on, I just got one more before you go. Sorry, Bone. Skip, we know players live on their iPhones. When they walk into game day, do they have to hand their phones into the property steward, or they can have them wherever they like?
The AFL has rules now where you're not allowed to have mobile phones switched on inside the change rooms for betting purposes. So there's only about 2 or 3 people, I think it's the team manager and 2 or 3 others who are listed, who are allowed to have their phones switched on, a bit like cricket. You're not allowed to have cricket in the...
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have mobile phones in the rooms during cricket, and footy's the same for gambling purposes. So that rule's been brought in, and that's across all people. So even guests that come into the change rooms to watch the players warm up aren't allowed to have their phones switched on. So players fall into that category.
Was the win over the weekend as significant as we thought from the commentary box? It looked like a good performance, a tweak to the game style, and a good bloke standing at full forward that finished off some nice play.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you'd have to say that that 7-2 Gold Coast are one of the form sides of the competition. I think they were top 1 or 2 for clearances, top 1 or 2 for contested ball, and you know, the speed in which they'd use the ball has been really impressive. So we knew we had our work cut out, but I thought our midfield did really well. We sort of backed them in a lot of ways to go head to head, apart from Ablett, you know, with those other boys and get their share, and we won the clearances and were able to use it fairly well, and in the end that was a big part of winning the game.
Can we just ask you a question? It seems to have taken a long time to get to that weekend and that game. Has that just been an indication of the year? Has it been personnel? Why has it taken 10 games for that game to play out like it did?
I think we're always tweaking and adjusting, you know. Like, I think we played, obviously, Gold Coast, they're a pretty good side. I thought we played a reasonable game against Collingwood a couple of weeks earlier. I think we won 3 games in a row where we, you know, significant scores against, you know, some of the lower teams on the ladder. So our year hasn't been a disaster by any stretch. You know, we played 2 really poor games, or, you know, a poor half against Melbourne, and, you know, a poor game against Carlton, and we've lost both those by under a kick. So, yes, we always feel like we're tweaking it, but, you know, I don't think it's been, you know, a write-off. And certainly...
I didn't say that, but, again, you couldn't say that you're where you want to be, surely.
Oh, absolutely not, no. And we're always trying to get that. But that's the battle for every club at the moment, trying to perform consistently to the level that you need to get to. And, you know, we got off to a really stuttery start to the year. We lost, you know, we had three really good opponents in the first three rounds and weren't able to get a win there. We were a little bit unsettled through some injuries and late in the sort of pre-season competition. And I guess we've been trying to get some stability and consistency and we're still striving for that as we speak. So, you know, the next month is really important for us. We play Frio, I think it's Kangaroo, Essendon and Port. So, I think you could sit down in the month's time, you'll have a much clearer picture of where are you heading after these four games.
Mark Bickley, our guest for Elders Real Estate, making more possible. I've declared Tex Walker's back after the game, but nobody cares about that. We want to know if the forward line coach thinks Tex Walker is back.
He was back to, closer to the player that we expected he was going to get to after at some stage this year. Now, we'd love it if he could produce that level week in, week out, but we'll wait and see how he goes. But certainly his first 2 weeks, there was a few or a bit of scratchiness about his game. His kicking wasn't where he would like to be. You know, a couple of balls sort of bounced off his hands that he'd normally take, but certainly on the weekend, he looked a lot more comfortable. I'd suggest that his work rate in the first 2 weeks was exactly the same as what we saw yesterday. He just finished his work off so much better. So hopefully that'll give him great confidence and it'll be up to him now for him to just reproduce that as often as he can. And we're really hopeful that he'll be able to do that. And you can see what type of difference he makes to our whole team. He presents really well. He leads towards the footy and clearly now going to take the best defender each week. So some of those other guys in the forward line will benefit from that as well.
People see the 5-1 or the 10 marks or the 8 inside 50s. His numbers were frightening. But just paint a picture of his... You spoke about his presence. But he's got real leadership and he really does command that forward line with your leading patterns. I think when he says, listen, keep out of the way, I'm coming here, or put a block there, they do that. Just to explain how important that instructional voice of a really smart forward is to the workings of your forward line, Skip.
Yeah, well he's part of our leadership group, so obviously he drives the standards down there. I mean, we're pretty lucky. We've got blokes like Betts and Podsy Adley who are very experienced players as well, but they probably haven't been in our... You know, they're only new to the system. So having Tex there to pull those guys together is really important. But also, I think you've seen the last couple of weeks, he does have a bit of swagger about him, which is, I think is a bit of a good thing. You know, he bumps into blokes. The spare part that drops behind the footy, he's always giving him a little bit of grief, so he's always looking over his shoulder. So there's a whole range of things that he brings, but he just makes our forward line better, and he makes people feel better about themselves when he's up there. So... what you'll find is, you know, teams, we saw late in the game that Gold Coast had an extra player. He was just standing next to Taylor. So they had two guys on one bloke, and Taylor just moves out the road and opens up the forward line for the other four or five forwards. So that's the presence he has and the benefits that he brings to our team.
I'll just break in here, sorry for a sec, Skip. The AFL Tribunal of Schimmelbusch, Loveridge and Neitz took just 3 minutes for the jury to find Schulz guilty. That means his 80 demerit points will carry on for 12 months, but he is free to play this week. So he had nothing to lose. They found him guilty, carries over the 80 points.
Let's continue our four-line chat, Mark. Charlie Cameron's the interesting one. I think there's wouldn't be a Crow supporter that hasn't enjoyed his early minutes in the Caper. It looked like he got banged up a little on the weekend. How have you rated him, and how's he pulled up?
Yeah, look, he was surprisingly a bit better than what we thought this morning.
He had...
Stephen May land on him, and May's probably 105 kilos.
It's a mismatch.
And Charlie's about 65 kilos, so that weight on his knee just gave him a bit of a scare, but he's pulled up pretty well, so he'll be fine. But I guess, you know, he's electrifying with his speed, and he runs really nice patterns. He gets back to goal really hard, and the most important thing for us is the pressure that he applies. I think he had four or five tackles again on the weekend. He had seven against Collingwood a couple of weeks ago, so... He really makes the opposition, you know, pretty nervous in our forward 50 when they're trying to get it out. So that's really important. He also, for a guy who's such light in frame, he really used his body well. So a couple of times he's able to knock opposition players off the ball and win some possessions or open it up for our other players, which is really important. And I think I mentioned last time we were on that, you know, he's only started playing footy as a 15-year-old, so he's very green. He's got so much to learn, but he's such a willing student. So, you know, he's really fast-tracked his development really well. And a lot of that is to do with Eddie Betts. He lives with Eddie, and Eddie's really, you know, those guys hadn't met each other before this year, and Eddie's taken him in and, you know, obviously teaching him about the game, but teaching him about life as well. So he's just got a wonderful mentor, sort of, who's really looking after him at the moment.
Can I ask how you plan his, I guess, month of footy ahead? Can we often see with young kids like that they've got a short lifespan, or if that's the right terminology, and then you either give him a week off or roll him back into the SANFL side for a while, then bring him back? Have you got that planned out, or are you taking him game by game?
I don't think you can plan that far ahead, really, because a lot of it is just we're not quite sure how he's going to absorb the pressure. You know, if he keeps coming up, he's young and he's fit. If he keeps coming up and he keeps playing to the level, well, clearly we're not going to just give him a week off just for the sake of it. So he's playing a really important role for us. But that's not to say we won't monitor him very closely. And if we feel as if that it looks like he's getting tired or fatigued or knocked up, you know, yeah, surely we'll make sure that he gets the rest if he needs it. But at this stage, he's coping really well, and he's providing a really good presence on the ground for us.
He did, and Eddie had a good presence with Charlie after the game in the interview on the ground with the big screen, where he told him just to leave the little block and tackle alone there. But we'll leave that alone, Skip. Hey, Skip, how funny was it? But was that not the funniest thing you've ever seen?
Well, it was a little bit like Dad telling his son not to do that. He pointed up at the screen and said, "You're on the big screen, mate. You
Charlie."
Can't do that.
Yeah, that was great.
So it was fun.
Now, I want you to do a told you so here, Skip. Josh Jenkins is just getting better and better.
Yeah, well, look, I think, once again, we've said in the past that he's coming to the sport late. He's pretty inexperienced, so he would have been wrapped this year. I think what we're starting to see with Josh is some consistency because, you know, he would be the first to admit in his first couple of years at the club he was great 1 week or great for a quarter and then just went missing. But, you know, this year so far, since he's come back into the side in round three, he's been, you know, really consistent. And apart from a couple of games where his goal kicking radar has been off, he's been really good for us. And I guess on the weekend he had to take a little bit more responsibility and go into the ruck once Sam Jason was injured, and I thought he acquitted himself pretty well there and just showed at times as well what he's capable of with his spread away from the contest. He's got genuine speed. He covers the ground really well. And there was a period, I think you remember, late in the game where he took the ball. I think it was a free kick in the centre square. He took off forward, had three bounces, and unfortunately missed the goal. But certainly capable of spreading hard away from stoppage, which is something that's pretty unique for someone who's almost 200 centimetres.
Melbourne and Carlton coaches set their teams up first and foremost to restrict the opposition. They get their matchups right, numbers to the ball, etc. We saw the result. You lost both of those by less than a kick. The best at that is Fremantle's Ross Lyon. I'd like to think that you've learnt a little bit from those two losses about still playing your game, taking the game on, getting through the corridor and playing attacking footy, Skip, because this will be a big test on that big deck against Freo on Sunday.
Yeah, look, it will. And you didn't have to look too far when you watched Freo play last week. I think the Western Bulldogs had 67 inside 50s and kicked 7 goals, and Freo had 45 and kicked 12 or something. So it's you need to have some method going in, because they roll numbers back as well as anyone, as you mentioned, and you can't just go in blindly and just keep banging it in there, because they'll just get all their numbers back and then they just slingshot it out. So you need to have a bit of method and some planning about that. So we'll look at that really closely. I think last time we played them was might have been in Perth, and once again, I think they kicked the winning score after having only 35 inside 50s. We kicked really poorly. We kicked 3-8 from set shots. So we feel as if at different stages in the past 3 years since Sando's here, we've played quite well against Fremantle and their game style. So we're looking forward to the challenge.
Well, that was round 18 last year. I remember that game. And yes, you do play Fremantle very well at Super. I think you ended up losing by 20 points, but it was nip and tuck all game, wasn't it, Bone? Saucy Jacobs, is he going to get the all clear? Is that little hip flexor corky going to be okay?
Yeah, look, he was much more positive today than what I thought he was. Yeah, I just spoke to him briefly. But look, very early on in the piece, but yeah, he certainly gives himself a really good chance of playing. So that's good news, because at one stage during the game, he looked like he was really favouring it. So yeah, pleased to think that he thinks he's a really good shot.
Hey, Bix, what was Kyle Hardigan's knock? What was the reasons behind him going back?
Oh, look, well, there's two reasons. One, we had Andy Otten in pretty good nick, who is that similar size, probably a bit more experienced than Kyle. And,
yep.
And two, he just had a couple of weeks where his ball use wasn't to the level that we probably thought it had been previous. So,
yep.
that's basically the reason. He needs to just use it a little bit better against Carlton. He had a couple of balls that he turned over and had maybe a couple the week before, but Andy there waiting in the wings, really keen to get him into the side. He gives us great flexibility. I thought he was pretty solid on the weekend. So, that's probably the main reason.
How far off your best mix are you, do you think? But getting that short pre-season, you had a vision of what your team would look like at its best and when you needed it. How far off are you?
Well, look, we're starting to get some players back, which is good. So Brad Crouch, I think, is either very close or maybe even playing in the state league this week. I think Rick Henderson's maybe one or two weeks away.
Okay.
So they're probably the two that spring instantly to my mind. I'm sure there's others. But
Lynch,
yeah. Tommy Lynch is probably 2 weeks away as well. So I think that's getting us back to where we'd like to have, they're probably in your first pick team.
Yep.
And provide you with great flexibility. You think about how good Brodie Smith's been this year and the improvement he's made. It'd be lovely to have Henderson across half-back as well with his speed and his penetration with his kick. So, we know what Tom Lynch is able to do, and we've seen the way Crouch has been able to run through the middle on ball. So that would certainly add to our depth and make us stronger if all those guys were up and going and in good form.
So what sort of dialogue are you having with the team then, and is Sando having with the team about where you are at the moment, what you need to do? Is it purely just that's a snapshot of how we want to play the game, boys, we need to be better and need to improve this against Fremantle, or are you having a short-term or long-term conversations with them at the moment?
I think the game, every review we have after a game, we're looking at highlighting the areas that we've played as close to our plan as we would like. So,
yep.
You go through the area, this is what we plan to do, this is how we executed, that was done really well. If we had to improve, we'd like to do this, this and this better. And here's some examples of when we were caught out or our structure wasn't right or when we went too slow or too fast or whatever it is. So your game is forever evolving. And it's interesting, I was looking today at some of the stats and we know that the game it ebbs between defence being on top and offence being on top. And there was, I think 2012, probably offence was on
yep.
top and teams were scoring really freely. And last year, probably a little bit the same. But this year, if you look at the efficiency of goals per inside 50, that's dropped right away. So teams that, I think Essendon last year were scoring a goal every 25% of the time. So one in every four, they were kicking a goal, and that made them the 10th best side in the competition. That number, the 25% of goals inside 50, puts them in the top four this year. So
wow.
Last year, if you're able to reproduce the same, you'd be top four this year. So it is getting more and more difficult to score. Similarly, there's similar numbers with marks inside 50, harder to get marks inside 50. I think the average, the top four were getting 15, 14 and 13 last year. I think the top four were getting 13, 12 this
yep.
year. So you're forever refining that, and the game's forever changing, because certain teams that are doing well are doing things really well, and other teams are copying them. So you can't just say at the start of the year, this is how we're going to play, and then let's just work on that for the whole year, because it changes from round 1 to round 11, and it'll probably change again between round 11 and round 22.
Well, let's hope you get that midfield forward transition right and the method about that this weekend, Skip. Thanks for your time. Brilliant as always.
Thank you, guys.